It truly is amazing what the Lord is doing. We have, you know, an enemy to contend with, and he's such a thief. But you know what? We don't have to let him rob from us at all. It's our own choice. He can't steal from you unless you let him. So he's just trying to get us to compromise with him, that's all. You know, a little sympathy for the devil. A little rationalizing, you know, sinful behavior. Making excuses for things that you know really deep down in your heart God doesn't approve of. But you don't really want to hear what God has to say about it because you like it. It's your little pet. And it's that little pet that opens the door for the bigger pets to come in and to mess you up even worse. We have to flee from all appearance of evil. We must give no place to the devil at all. You don't play with this kind of fire. This fire will burn you, and it'll burn you bad. And it always presents itself as something that is beautiful to look at, usually. Something appealing to the eyes. You know? Something desirable. Isn't that what happened to Eve? It wasn't something that was ugly or undesirable. It was something that was appealing. And so he will offer you sometimes good things, but they're not right things. They're distractions. They're to pull you away. One of the things that Satan is doing today is he's getting people to believe the lie that good is bad and bad is good. People are calling evil good and good evil. And it's interesting, but one of the groups that are out there, they will tell people now, it's really a mind control cult. And the first thing they do is they put the question mark in people's heads as to the authority of the scriptures. That's how most of the cults do it. They will be the ones who would determine what is from God and what is not. They will all claim, I want you to hear this, that they have information that you can't get anywhere else except from them. You know, Satan is very slick. He's subtle. And he was saying, God's holding out on you. If you really want to know what God is holding out on you, you've got to listen to me here. If you want to know, there's a group out there that claims to know where God came from. And what they do is they ask the question, where did God come from? Well, most of us, if we're honest, will say, we don't really know. However, we know that He's eternal. He has no beginning of days. He is the I am that I am. He's always been. We know that God is not bound by time like we are. And there are certain questions that we don't know the answer to. We have to admit that. But what the devil does is he lies to people and he makes them believe that he has information that nobody else knows about. He will offer you the answer to the question that nobody else seems to have an answer to. None of the churches seem to have the answer, so we happen to have the inside of that. And we didn't get it through the scriptures, we got it through revelation. We got it through our prophet, who has an inside with God. And God revealed to our prophet that Jehovah was all alone in the universe. And he was lonely. Now, folks, there is nothing in the scriptures that says that. However, many people are hooked by that one phrase. They know something that nobody else knows about. That's how subtle it is. And then they go a step further and they tell you this, that now the first thing that's going to happen, once you start following with us, the elite, by the way, only we are the right way. And that draws people in. Oh, I've got to join your cult in order to get to heaven. I've got to join one of these cults, and there's many of them, in order for me to become enlightened or to be able to maybe work myself to heaven, to achieve enough brownie points with God to get to heaven. So they offer secret knowledge that you can only receive through them. And so what they do is they have an artificial carrot on a stick. and they entice people with it. Well, if you want to know, you've got to go to the next level. They work by level and level, and what they're doing is they're slowly controlling people's minds through guilt and through fear. Because if you try to leave, you'll go to hell. If you're excommunicated from the church, it's a death sentence for you. So they deceive the minds of those who do not know what the Word of God says. And they're offering solutions to and answers to questions that are not answered in the Scripture. Folks, there are certain things that we're just not going to know. And an honest person will admit that. But a deceiver will not. One who is trying to draw disciples after themselves will offer you secret knowledge. That if you want to get this secret knowledge, if you want to know the revelation, the latest revelation from God, you've got to come to us for it. Thus, they begin to seduce people into their little web of deception for the purpose of control and domination. It's a spirit of witchcraft at its heart. It's what it is. But it's dressed up in Christian clothes. And so this secret knowledge, folks, is what entices it. It's what draws. That if I want to know what's going on, I've got to go through this channel to get to that. Okay? And then they will take it to the next step and they will say this. The first thing that's going to happen to you is someone from your immediate family or someone that's close to you is going to try to warn you about us. And it will be Satan who has put them up to it. So you see how he's so slick, he flips it. So now the person who's really operating by the Holy Spirit, who's trying to warn them from deception, is now an agent of Satan. So what it does is it right away, they'll go home and sure enough, someone is going to say, hey, don't listen to those people. Ah, that's just what they told me would happen. These people really do know. Are you with me? Be very careful. There are a lot of people that are going around with words of knowledge, words for people. But underlying all that is a desire for to control you. They will control you by playing tricks with your mind. Jesus never represented himself. He always represented the Father. A true prophet represents the one who sent him. You and I are never to represent ourselves. We are to represent Jesus. Whose authority did you do that in? His authority. Whose authority do you speak in? Jesus' authority. Amen? There are good people who really want to know God. They love Jesus and they've even made a commitment to Jesus. But they don't have any understanding of God's will, God's word. There are too many Christians that don't even spend any time in the Word of God. So they're just going by what little, maybe 20% of a sermon they might get on Sunday morning. And sometimes they show up once in a while on Sunday. So they're starving to death and they're walking around ignorant in ignorance because they don't have the light. Because they're not feeding themselves. Folks, a babe should be taken under our wing and we should, amen, bottle feed and help them, mentor them. But folks, there comes a time you got to start feeding yourself. You got to stay in the Word. That's your protection. That is our authority. And anybody that claims authority outside of the Word of God is a liar. And they're a deceiver and they have an agenda to control you. And you'll find that at the top echelons of these groups, it's all about the dollar bill. They're raking in millions of dollars, billions in some cases. And it's all deception dressed up in Christian clothing. They're preaching a Jesus of their own making. not the Jesus of the Bible. And you'll find one common denominator in all of these groups, all of these cults that are out there. And that is they deny the deity of Christ. They deny that Jesus is God in the flesh. They will say he was a good man. He was a prophet. He is our, they'll even call him their savior. But they deny the fact that he is God incarnate in flesh. And 1 John chapter 4 says, "Beloved, believe not all the spirits. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." And that is the common denominator, folks, is they eliminate the cross and they try to reduce the Son of God to a man like you and I. Thus, they make themselves gods. And they put themselves on the same level as Jesus. Now, we are brethren in the sense that we are born again into the family of God. But he's still Lord, Master, King, amen, of kings and Lord of lords. He is God. And we are not. And it's very appealing to the carnal nature, because the carnal nature is already sold into sin. The carnal nature has already accepted the lie that I'm my own God. So when you're offered, hey, if you follow this way, you'll be like God. As we told Eve, God knows you'll be like him. If you listen to me, you'll be like him. If you follow in our way, you become a God in the celestial kingdom. Oh, how appealing that is to the carnal nature, the unregenerate man. But the only way we can know truth is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth that God has given to them who obey him. And by the Spirit and the Word, we're able to discern. And so what happens is people, they get entrapped into these situations where they're so controlled, and usually by fear, that they don't want to cross these people. That they give in and they yield their will to the will of these deceivers. How many know that our will needs to be yielded to him? Let me talk about something else tonight, and it just popped in, but it's hypnosis. Never allow anybody to have that kind of control over you. I'm telling you, it is a trap. Oh, there's all kinds of people that are running to these hypnosis centers to get free from their addictions. Can I just say something? That every time that the devil does something for you, he always takes away more than what he did for you. You have, go with one problem and you'll go away with a bigger problem. It'll just be a different problem. But it'll be a bigger problem. You may get free in one area, and that's why you're deceived, because you say, wow, I feel free. Well, how many know the devil can just tell that demon, I want you just to step out of the way for a few, and make them think that they're free. And all he does is he steps out of the way for a season, and then he goes and he brings big guns in with him, and the latter end is worse for that person. Yeah. Never allow anybody to have control over your mind like that. You don't know who these people are? Okay, enough said about that. The Word of God is our standard. The Word of God is what we base our faith on. Amen? We put our faith in Jesus Christ. He is the Word. We do not trust in what prophets say, except that what the prophets have to say does not contradict the Word. It's in alignment with the Word of God, and it bears witness with your spirit. Do you know that when someone prophesies over you and they're truly prophesying over you, they're simply putting light on something that was already there? What prophecy does is it's kind of like blowing on an ember. That's already there. God's already spoken to you. But sometimes the promises of God become a little obscured. And so a prophet comes along that God inspires to speak the same word over you. Are you with me? And what happens is it ignites you inside and you come alive. And it bears witness. Yes, I was hearing that, but that confirms it. Be careful when people say, I have a word for you. There are a lot of people with words out there running in to and fro, messing people all up. Because they're prophesying out of their own heart. And many of them are just prophesying flatteries to make people feel good so they'll keep coming back to them again. It's control. It's to manipulate you. When the word of the Lord comes, it's life to you. If it's something that, I didn't get that. I'd never heard that. Be careful. Because the Lord confirms His word in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Don't just run after the first word you get, all right? If somebody gives you a word, God does speak to us prophetically today. We're not to despise prophesying, but we need to test all things. Bring it before others. Ask them to pray about it. People that you can trust. And the words need to be done publicly too. It's a good thing, amen, that things are brought out into the light so that the others can also judge that word. Yes. Be careful of the prophet in the parking lot. Do you know that most of the people who get caught up into the cults are people that have some biblical foundation, some, that have had some Christian experience usually. They've had it in their mind anyways. They've known a little bit about God or a little bit about Jesus. And so what happens is that they don't have a complete understanding or a good understanding of God, because if you don't get into His Word, you're not going to know Him who is the Word. The Word of God reveals to us the living Word, Jesus Christ. You come to know Him through the revelation of the Word. If you know, people, there's a lot of different Jesuses out there, folks. And they're based upon their own opinion. But the true Jesus reveals Himself through the Word of God. But if we don't have the knowledge of the Word, then somebody will come up and answer one of your unanswered questions. And they can tell you it's either a revelation from God or it's in the Bible. But if you aren't in the Bible yourself, how are you going to know whether they're telling you the truth? Not only that, there are many who twist the scriptures to say what they want them to say. Again, it always has to do with selfish ambition. It always comes back to a person promoting themselves, looking for people to follow after them. And even though they may name the name of Jesus, in works they're really denying Him, because in their actions, what they're really saying is, I want people to follow me. And that's how cults get started. They start with people, they begin to stray away from the relationship with Jesus, and they begin to put their faith and trust in experiences. They begin to put their faith and their trust in signs and wonders. They begin to put their faith and trust in dreams and in visions. And they don't stay in the Word of God. So then they become an authority that others will look to for direction. And what that does is it feeds the ego and the pride. And they become elevated in their minds. And they begin to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. And I can tell you, folks, that I've known people that had flattery spoken over them, prophesied over them, flatteries, and it has ruined them. because their head is so big now, they can't get through the door. You can't tell them anything. Are you with me? You can't tell them anything. They're too spiritual. That in itself is deception. When you think that you're spiritual, you're really not. When you think you're something, when you're not, you're deceiving yourself. Take heed lest at any time you think you stand. It's when you think you stand that you're the most vulnerable. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Huh? Who are the poor in spirit? These are the ones who realize that whatever I need, it's going to have to come from Him. If I'm going to stand up here and feed you anything, it's going to have to come from the Lord. I can't help you. And you can't help anybody either. Now, what you can do is you can put a Band-Aid on them and make them feel good for a little while. You can say some things and, oh, it'll be better. Let's put some of that red stuff on that boo-boo, you know? You know, it's a temporary thing. That's why people go to counseling. Now, there's nothing wrong with godly counseling that's based upon the Word of God. That's good counseling. But there are others who are just going to counselors who will just tell them good things and what they need to hear. Temporarily, they feel better, but they come back for years and years and years and years and years. And they're never getting over it. They're just constantly in counseling and counseling. And my counselor, and they have just, I'm addicted to my counselor. And he's addicted to your wallet. You're right, brother. We need to get free, all right, from all these deceptions that are out there. And the only way you're going to get free from the strongholds that the enemy establishes in your life is becoming aware that it even exists. And you're not going to know what strongholds are in your life unless you get into the Word of God. Unless you hear the Word preached and the light begins to come on. How many know what I'm talking about? And then you say, wow, that's me. He's speaking to me now. Well, if we're speaking by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, the Holy Spirit will bring light. And He'll put light on the subject, not so that you can just feel miserable, but so that you might be what? Healed, right? He always does it because He wants to make you better. Now the devil will point stuff out just to make you feel miserable. And to make you feel condemned. And his purpose is to draw you away from God rather to God. There's a lot of people that leave God because they just think they've blown it so bad that God would never love them. That in itself is a stronghold of deception. God will always take you back. You just need to turn back to Him. The moment you set your heart, the moment you say, God, I'm coming back. Just like that. He's got His arms open to you already. He knows your heart. He knows if you mean business or not. He also knows when you're giving Him lip service. God, if you get me out of this. But if you want Him, if you want to know Him, He'll reveal Himself to you. Seek and you'll find. Now, we know. So the Word of God brings light. The entrance of your Word brings light. Okay. Now, one scripture tonight, all right? And then we're going to move along from there. No. Hebrews chapter 4. This is, I spoke on this Wednesday night, but it was, I know it was, God quickened it, and there's others that need to hear this. So we're going to go back there again tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, John, most of us know this. John chapter 1, verse 1 says what? In the beginning was the Word. With God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus. Right. Jesus is the Word. So the Word became flesh. God the Word, we were hearing it. It was written on tablets of stone, amen, in the law. But the law became flesh. The Word took on a body, Jesus Christ, amen. And it's very clear, and this is where the cults pervert it, the Word was God. Not a little g, but equal, right, to the Father. So, The Word of God is living, it's alive, right? Not a letter, folks, but the Word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, this is the part that I want us to draw attention to tonight. Division of soul and spirit. What does the Word of God do? It's piercing even to the division, dividing between soul and spirit. When you and I receive Christ, He comes to dwell within our, what we call our hearts, right? That means He comes into the very core of your being, the very innermost part of you. Now, we're all born with a soul life. Amen? People are living souls. They're walking and they're talking. That means they're alive. They have a soul. But you're not alive spiritually until the Holy Spirit comes in. Christ comes within you, and you're born of the Spirit. And what has to happen then is the soul needs to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit now. And the Holy Spirit always works together with the Word of God. So the Spirit and the Word, amen, are in complete harmony. And so our intellect, our reason, our soul has to come under authority to what God says. What the Spirit says through the Word. Are you following so far? And so the Word of God is a light that exposes and reveals to us the difference between what is soulish and what is of your spirit, man. It divides between the two. For what reason? Well, let's read on in that verse. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God reveals to us our motives. Why we do what we do. If that thought is from God or not. If that is a good thing or a bad thing. If that is a true thing or a false thing. How can we know the difference? It's through the Word of God that there becomes a separation between the soulish realm of you, which is really a lower part. It's the lower or the earthly part of man. And the spirit that is born of God. Yeah. So now, through the Word, we're able, by the Spirit, to understand, hey, God does not approve of that, or God does approve of that. And if we don't have a knowledge of the Word, then in the areas where there is no knowledge of the Word, which is light, is darkness. So where there's darkness in our lives, the enemy can hide out. He can deceive. That's why he's always going to try to stop you from reading this book. He's going to try to stop you from understanding this. Because he knows that once the light comes on, he has to move out. He has no place to hide anymore. So division of soul and spirit is whether the thought is from above or below. Now James talked about this in chapter 3, verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. He said, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Where do you think bitter envy and self-seeking comes from? Is it our higher nature or our lower nature? This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. That word sensual means bestial or lower nature. So that type of wisdom, what is that? Selfishness. What's in it for me? What about my needs? I did it my way. I got first in line. I got the biggest piece of cake. Me, me, my, my. Wherever there is that selfishness, it opens the door for envy and every evil work to come in. Jealousies, contentions, you know, striving. How many have realized that it's not from your higher nature, amen, where there's disunity? It comes from the lower nature. If we don't stay filled up on Jesus, then the lower nature begins to exalt itself. And if you get together with a bunch of people that are carnal in the sense that they're not spiritual, they're not filled with the Spirit, boy, you've got all kinds of stuff going on, man. The reason why there is such harmony in this church is because this is a church that believes in walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we ever stray away from that, and if we go too far, guess what? Then we're going to start opening the door for the enemy to start causing disunity here too. So we need to remain in a place where I realize that I don't have anything except what God gives me. I've got to stay poor in spirit. I've got to stay humbled before God and say, God, I don't have what it takes. I need what you have so that I can overcome. But if we start getting cocky and thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good, and we start getting off into the soulish realm and the self-will realm, then, you know, you can do quite a bit by willpower. Isn't it true? You can accomplish a lot by sheer willpower, but only for a season. Because your willpower will let you down. Eventually, you're going to faint. Eventually, you're going to get weak. Eventually, somewhere, you're going to trip. Because you and I do not have what it takes to overcome the things that are coming against us in this world. We do not have enough wisdom. We do not have enough power to overcome the devil. I don't care how smart we may think we are. We need the Holy Spirit and we need the Word of God. And we need to stay humbled before the Lord under His authority and say every thought needs to come captive. Needs to come under the authority of God's Word. If it's rising up and saying no, but God says yes, then guess what? You've got to grab a hold of it right away. And you've got to say, no, I'm going to listen to what God says. And just like the article we read this morning, scientists are discovering this to be true. Something that God has already said in His Word, but you know, they're finally getting on board with some of this, and they're realizing, hey, the Word of God is true. Some of them are. That if we feed the wrong thoughts, then they become established in us permanently. And the only way to overcome that is to rebuild. It's very interesting. And how do you do that? Through the Word of God. The washing of the Word. You begin to say, this is what I was taught. This is what I believed. But now I have to rebuild. I have to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I have to be washed in the Word. I have to start building on the foundation of Christ. Amen? And His Word. And what happens is you actually cancel out the other. So where there was negativity, there can be positivity. Where there was hatred, there can be love. Where there was a curse, now there can be a blessing. So we can do the opposite by receiving God's revelation, His Word to us, and thinking on, speaking on that. And it will begin to change your mind, your thinking. And they're even proving that it actually people are being healed from mental illness. Simply through the Word of God. Wow. Wow. Because the Word of God is living. It's alive. It's powerful. It's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And so to discern between the lower sensual nature and the higher nature, the new nature in Christ, we need the Word. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In Jude chapter 1, verse 17, he said, "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons." That same word again, the same word in the Greek, the bestial or lower nature. He says they are the ones who cause divisions, and they're not having the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit of God. And they come in and they infiltrate the church. And he's warning them against sensual people. Sometimes, folks, it can be hard to discern between someone who is truly spiritual and sensual. The devil is a counterfeiter. He's a good actor. There are people, folks, that are so nice in these cults. There's some of the... In fact, they're too nice. My dad warned me years ago. He said, "Be careful of people that are too nice." They usually have an agenda. But they're so nice that people say, "Wow, they're really good Christians, aren't they?" Well, let's examine this in light of the Word of God. Not everything that glitters is gold. And they have an appearance of being godly. They have a form of godliness. But they don't have the substance. They don't have Christ. They have a different spirit, many of them. They have a different Jesus. It's actually a demonic spirit impersonating the Holy Spirit. And he presents himself as an angel of light. They just float around on clouds. But what did he say in Jude 1 and verse 20? "But you, beloved," this is you and I, what should we do then? "Building yourselves up." We've got to build ourselves. What the enemy has torn down, where the enemy has lied, we now need to rebuild. And we do that through the Word of God and prayer. It's back to the same standard. Get back to the Word. Get back to the altar. Amen? And God will begin to renew your mind. And your thinking will begin to change. And when you change your mind, your life will change. Your actions will change. You will begin to do the things that Jesus did. You will desire the things that He desired. Why? Because you're feeding yourself with truth. And once the truth comes in, you'll be able to identify that's a lie. And I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to listen to that voice. In Galatians 5:19, it says, "What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, and indecent actions. In worship of idols, witchcraft, people become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. They separate into groups and parties and cliques," it calls in the New King James. "They are envious, they get drunk, they have orgies, and they do other things like these. And I warn you, now as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God." Don't be fooled. A tree is known by its fruit. If we have been the planting of the Lord, and we are building ourselves up in our most holy faith, we are feeding ourselves on the Word, and we are praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You are building up your spirit man. And I'm going to finish with this. What we need to do is when we receive Christ, the seed is planted. Amen? And then we water. The Word is watered. Amen? And we have, if you will, the sunshine of the Spirit, the mingling of the Spirit and the Word. We begin to work on that. And life begins to sprout. It's called spiritual growth. And but you've got to continue to feed. So that eventually will be the blade, amen? And then the full grain in the ear, if you will. So that we're bearing fruit, so we're able to reproduce. That's called maturity. Only mature people in the natural can reproduce. So it is spiritually. God wants us to grow up and get off the bottle and start eating solid food so that we can reproduce and bear fruit for His glory. Okay? So what needs to happen is that life that's within you that God has planted there at salvation when you said yes to Jesus, He wants to feed you, He wants to fill you, so that what happens is that life that's within you begins to overtake you. Are you with me? It becomes dominant so that you are now filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you have cooperated with the Word of God and you have allowed Him to have access into every area, every room, every void of your life. You've said, yes, Lord, I'm not going to make excuses anymore. I want this junk out because I want you in. Every area of my soul. My soul is being saved. The spirit is saved because of Christ, but the soul is being saved. It is being consumed, if you will, by the love of God. And when that happens, when the Spirit dominates you now, hallelujah, you will bear fruit. Yeah. People will see Christ. They will say, hey, what is it that you have? I want what you have. But if you starve yourself, folks, they're going to just see the old corpse of the old you. And it's repulsive. Are you with me? You don't like my flesh and I don't like your flesh, but we don't judge each other any longer according to the flesh because we're brothers and sisters. What we want to do is encourage each other to grow, to be filled. Amen. So the love and the life of Christ is just being shed abroad in your heart and in your life. And we cross-pollinate. Hallelujah. God bless you.